We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com.
Today we are starting a series. We started last week. We're calling it Fog, and it is about the priorities in our lives. Holy Spirit was already speaking to us in the worship time about what are your priorities? Where do they fit? And the Holy Spirit is choosing to use the book of Ecclesiastes, one of everyone's favorite books in the Bible, to talk about this. And I promise not to bore you today, but if I did, that should be all right. I should be able to bore you. It's not about you being entertained in front here. I just want to set that expectation up. Are you right? Am I right? We're here to hear from the Word. We're here to hear from the Holy Spirit. And so I'll be using Ecclesiastes as our travel guide, okay? Like our National Geographic travel guide, our Photos travel guide. And speaking of travel, I wanted to, can I share another travel story with you? Yes, just say yes, because we're doing it. It's I'm not impromptu here, okay? Well, we take Frontier Airlines most places. It's the cheapest, and they allow you to go free, basically, on their airline. It's pretty cheap, except that they don't allow any bags. All they allow is your purse or your personal item, and so even a suitcase is definitely off limits, and a backpack needs to be small, so I take this backpack, and I put it on, and it looks pretty good, and you barely even know it's there, right? And it really does say Coach Emma on it, and I'm not just trying to find something to be funny, but that's what I do, because I found this backpack, and it's awesome. It's got lots of little compartments in it. It's from GCU, and soccer team was throwing away all their old supplies, so we went through the trash. We jumped in the trash. We got a bunch of backpacks out. And I am Coach Emma. It says that right here. So I carry this along, and I always go through everything in its bite. And often you'll see on Frontier Airlines, it depends on who the ticket lady is or the ticket guy. It's usually a ticket lady, okay? And they'll look, and they'll either let you go, or sometimes they like make you put it in the little box to see if it fits. And they love sometimes, if it's a Nazi lady or guy, usually it's a lady, okay? I don't mean that. I'm just saying it. And they like line up people to the left that they're going to charge, because you have to tell them ahead of time, so you only have to pay 50 if you get over to the set. Anyways, you pay like 80 or something. It's ridiculous for a stupid little bag like this. And so you got to count the cost, my brother, right, Jared? You got to count the cost. The Bible says that. I should know that. So we were going on a trip, and me and Riley were. Riley was next to me, okay? And we were going to Cancun, and it was the summer, right? And this was his personal item, okay? And actually, I didn't even fill it all the way to how full it was, because it was heavy. It was heavier than this. I can do this with this one. And he's carried it. I'm like, dude, you can't bring that on. It's going to cost us, like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And I should have, like, had him count the cost before, and he didn't. And so anyway, so we're going. So I said, when we get up there, let me, like be on the, like, here, and here's the lady, and you walk to the side of me, and she won't see you, all right? So you just walk along, and he is not the type to try to get away with things. He will do whatever he can so people know he's doing something wrong, and I don't know, that's a good thing, I guess. And you're 8, okay? You're a kid's meal. Okay, just kidding. No, I really didn't do that. But we're going, and we get up there, and I say to him, I have his ticket, so I'm showing it on my phone, and I'm acting like, well, I'm having trouble. Here's the ticket on my phone. Oh, here it is. Like, stay. And I go, Riley, and it's an international flight, and so sometimes they make you show your passport, and I go, Riley, show them your bag. Show them your bag. And he's looking at me like, and I meant to say, show them your passport, because I'm nervous. I'm like, show them your bag. And he's like, and so I was just making the point that the bag was there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed. And then I meant your passport, and the lady looks, and she sees the bag, and we had favor, and this was his bag. And I want to make the point today. Should I keep this on? This looks good. Uh-huh. Good. I want to make the point today that we're going to look at Ecclesiastes, and it's kind of like the person, the writer of Ecclesiastes is kind of like the person at the counter in Frontier, because they see you coming up, and they see you getting on your flight, and they say, no, you can't bring that bag with you. It's not allowed. It's one personal item. That's not a personal item. Why do you have this? It's not even personal. And you're like, oh, I can't bring it. And they're like, you can bring it, but it'll cost you. And you'll have to stand in this line over here. See? Isn't that perfect, Jared? I didn't even make that part up. That was just part of it. It'll cost you. Ecclesiastes is like that. That's what it does. It's at face value, it appears to be a mistake that it was in the Bible. And in fact, you think, is this even Holy Spirit inspired? Because the Bible is supposed to be that way. Yet it was written by one of the wisest men that ever lived. Was it Solomon? Yeah, probably. Solomon was the wisest man. He asked God for wisdom. He asked him, God said, what do you want? And he said, I want wisdom. And he said, there, you're the wisest man. So there he was. He built all these things. He had everything a person could ask for in life. Maybe it wasn't Solomon. Maybe it was one of his ghostwriters that helped him write this. Maybe it was the king's whole family, someone there that did this. But regardless, we call him the teacher or the preacher. That's the translation of whenever it talks about him. He is the teacher or the preacher. He knew it all. He had it all. Yet in a heartbeat, this guy would trade it all. Was it Solomon? Yeah, probably. I don't know. He seemed to care about nothing, but he figured out the significance of all things by realizing the vanity of everything. Are you confused? Anyone confused? Okay, we're ready to go home. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Well, you're in good company if you're confused, because many assume this book means something completely different than what it does. And it's got to mean something for us today. And many pastors would leave it alone. And maybe I should too. But I felt like the Holy Spirit told me, you need to press in here and look at what it has to say. Because I feel it's probably the most relevant book to where we are in 2022, juggling all of our things. Juggling all of our priorities. And Lord, we just come before you right now and we say, would you anoint my words, anoint our ears, that even if I don't say the right things, that everyone would hear what you have to share to them. We thank you for the word. We thank you for what it has to do with our lives. And I pray that it would relate to us today in Jesus' name. I want to ask you today something that you ask yourself. What is really important? What is really important? We try to pack so many things in our bag, and sometimes they're essential, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're important, sometimes we don't even know what's essential, what's important, what's needed, what's not needed, and we should let the Holy Spirit help us pack a lot more often. Our bags often become baggage. And we drag it with us everywhere we go. Hi, how are you? I'm Stephen. Did you see my bag? It's so big. It's heavy. It's got a lot of stuff. Hi, did you see my bag? Isn't it nice? I don't like my bag. I got so many you don't know what I'm going through. And then you get to church and you empty it out and everyone's like, oh my gosh, what's in that bag, right? That's what worship should be about. Anybody here ever get off track about what's important in your life? What priorities? You might not even realize it. That's the scary thing. I'll see people, or I won't see people, that come to church, and they'll show up like once in a blue moon, right? And you'll be like, hey, what's going on? Oh my gosh, you don't know what's going on in my life. And I'm like, your priorities are messed up. I already know that right now. And people don't even realize that they've forgotten to put Jesus where he belongs in their life. Not that church is putting, it's the only thing, but you need it, because this world that we live in, I can't go 3 days without needing some Jesus and needing the fellowship and needing the encouragement. I don't know where, this is off the topic, but I don't know where we got off that we got off the road. That's what I mean by got, that we think that, oh yeah, church, it's commonly welcomed as, oh, it's an option, but you don't need it in your life. When I was a kid, it was requirement. That was all there was to it. Now we think, oh, well, hey, it doesn't get us to heaven. We love to say stuff like that. And actually, I think it does get you to heaven. And if you don't go to church, you probably don't make it to heaven because you don't have enough in you to get you there because you need accountability. You can't just sit on a screen and watch and think that you have everything that that you need to serve Jesus. You need, God put that in place a long time ago. So, yeah, I didn't study that part, so I don't know what I was, you get my point. Okay. We can have so many priorities and we don't know which ones to keep. I wrote down jobs, money, family. Is church a priority? I don't know. Faith, a nice car, nice house, school, education, health, exercise. It can all make us wonder, like, what do I fit in here that I need? It all becomes very blurry. It becomes kind of somewhat of a fog. And it makes you say, forget it all. I don't know what to think. It makes you surprisingly agree with the teacher in Ecclesiastes. We're reading two verses, actually just one verse today. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. You read this often if you're in a good mood and you say, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. What, when priorities get mixed up and you get confused and you get foggy in your brain, you relate with him. He says, meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Praise the Lord. I'm so encouraged. Is everything really meaningless? Just one area. Back to my life for a minute, okay? One area. I remember it very well. I was 23 years old. I thought I had arrived. You know, arrived. I got on my plane. I had my bag, and I arrived at my destination. And really, I hadn't arrived at all. I hadn't even left because I was carrying a little something with me called pride, and carrying a little something with me called the desire to succeed and make everyone think I'm good, right? And I was 23 years old, and I woke up one morning in Portland, Oregon, and I saw my name in the front page of the newspaper. Yes, and I'm actually getting a little bit of pride right now because I said it out loud and because I never got this. And I thought, wow, look at where I've achieved. And it went on to talk about our youth group and our seventh grade group, that the whole seventh grade from one of the public junior high schools would send their bus to from school to our church on Wednesday nights right after 3 o'clock, and we'd have church. And they talked about my the way I dressed and all this stuff, and I thought, oh, wow, I finally arrived. I am important. Life is not as meaningless as I thought. But guess what happened? A week went by. Not 10 weeks, just a week, and everyone forgot except me about that. Did you guys see this? I laminated it. I'll put it up in my office. Did you read this? It's pretty cool. And no one cared. No one cared anymore about it. And I thought that significance would bring me meaning, but it was still kind of meaningless. We do the same thing with certain things in our lives. It's in those times that we ask, what is really important? Maybe for you, your priority, your main priority. You might not even tell it to anyone else. You don't even whisper it to anyone else. You might ask God from time to time about it, but your priority might be to get a promotion or to have more money or to meet someone or get TikTok famous or have a baby, or hopefully the kids that are wanting to be TikTok famous aren't wanting to have baby. Okay, that's for someone older, much older. Maybe your goal is to get a new car or to get your first house. You got all of these priorities that seem really important, and they are. They all seem really great, and then life happens. Perhaps you achieve some of these things. One thing leads to another, and the great expectation, I don't know if you ever read that book, I haven't, but I'm sure it's good, but the great expectation you had of what would life be like when you got this life, when you finally achieved this. You thought it would feel differently, and all of a sudden, it doesn't feel much differently seems to vaporize like smoke. We're going to talk about where that word meaningless comes from. One of the words for meaningless is vapor. It's vapor, and it seems to vaporize and go away. You discover that your desires are just replaced with other priorities now because you got this, and all of a sudden you got everything you need in your bag, and you're ready, and you get on the trip, and then you realize, I never went anywhere. I feel like I never went anywhere. I got everything I need. Solomon said that. I have everything, and it still seems like a smoke. If I was a smoker, which would be, I shouldn't, I'm not, and even if I was, you couldn't smoke in here because there's a detector somewhere, but if I could show you, I would smoke, and I would go like this, and I'd make a little ring, and you would see the ring, and it's, oh, it's so cool, can I hold it? No, because when you grab it, it's gone. That's our life. That's the things that we long for, and we stand back and say, life is unusually foggy. It's not what I thought. Less than significance that you hope for, and you dare you say it's meaningless. But suddenly you relate with Solomon, and I do the same often. I actually went through a little couple of months of thinking, what is really important? And I relate with Solomon, and I say, yeah, maybe it is all meaningless. Bunch of waste of time, right? A lot of stuff that we do. When this scripture, put it up there, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, when this was written, it was written in Hebrew, and then it went to like a Tyndale translation, and then it went to the Geneva Bible, and then it went to then to the King James Version, I guess, that we got, and then the King James Version had different translations like the NIV. Some of us like, let's hear it for the NIV. New King James, I'm just kidding, right? All these translations, sometimes it's best to look where it started because sometimes it gets a little foggy from the where it was to where it is now. And sometimes it doesn't matter, but sometimes it does. And we're going to look at this Hebrew word for meaningless. It's the word hevel. It's pronounced hevel. It's H-E-B-E-L, hevel. And it means a vapor, a smoke, a fog. That's what it means. We're going to see a little bit more deeper meaning here too, because it has further meaning. I'm going to just stop with that for a minute. What would it take for everything in your life to not be a vapor, to not be a fog, to not be hazy, to be perfectly in order? Everything to be exactly where you want it. What would it take? Would it mean that there could be no more politics? Would it mean that you would be rich? Would it mean that you would be married? Would it mean that you would be divorced? Would it mean that you would be single? Would it mean that you would be healthy? Would it mean that there would be no more disagreements in your family, no more problems? What would it take to make life not so hevel, meaningless, foggy, smoky, vapory? What would it take? Even if you had your perfect scenario, can I submit this to you? It's still vapor. It's still gone. It's still gone. Oh, I'm so encouraged. What's Solomon, what's the teacher, what's the preacher doing in this book? We're going to see that after this verse, he just goes on to elaborate about all kinds of things in our life, like your work, like your relationships, like your life. It's all, we could talk about anything. It's all a vapor, except for youth. If you're a youth, good for you. Enjoy it while you're young because you get old and then it's over. It's very encouraging. But what is he doing here? What he's really doing here is ripping off your, this is not a good word for it, but Band-Aid of life. All of your hurts, all your worries, all your stresses, all of our expectations, he's ripping it off. And it's not a nice little rip off your hand or whatever. It's like right off your beard or somewhere that hurts really bad. Right off your nose hairs. I don't know where it is. He's ripping it off. And he's saying, wake up. Your human ideas, your American way, your first world problems, Let me just wake you up and say, Hevel, Hevel. Let me be brutally honest with you with the this, or the this, or the this, or the this. Whatever the this is in your life that you feel is so important, let me be brutally honest with you. Pull off the Band-Aid of your hurt and let me level the playing field and say, hey, everybody, stand in a straight line. Yes, even you, Bill Gates, even you, who's the other rich guy now that's famous? Yeah, Elon, all of you. Let's all stand in a straight line. It's level because it's all meaningless. The things that are your fault, the things that aren't your fault, the things that are fair, the things that aren't fair, the things that you have opinions on. You remember you were saying, like, you got to give up your opinion. The things you don't have opinions on, the things that break you, the things that bless you. The boat, the extra boat, the bag, the extra bag, the status, the opinions, the pleasures. It's all Hevel. God bless. Have a great day. This book is supposed to be wisdom poetry. That's what it's called. It's the wisdom poetry book. Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Next month, we're doing a book chapter on Solomon. I mean, want that? No, I'm just kidding. We won't go into there. If you don't know what Song of Solomon is and you're single, don't read it, okay? But it's supposed to be a wisdom poetry book. But to me, it seems like this guy's crazy. It's depressing. It seems like a waste of time. But I want to kind of help our perspective a bit today. Nothing that some of you probably didn't already know. But I want to show you how refreshingly brilliant it is. Can I say those two words together? Refreshingly brilliant. Anyone ever want to sound smart? You should use that together. Oh, how is your day? It's refreshingly brilliant. That wouldn't make sense, huh? You know, write it down for another day. Let me show you why it's so brilliant. Because declaring, and this is an important part of what I say, declaring the important to be meaningless helps me see that my priorities are out of whack. Let me say that again. Declaring the important to be meaningless helps me see that my priorities, they just might be a little out of whack. Because I thought this was important. I'll sit on this nice new stool. I thought it was important. I thought this was what I needed in life. I read the teacher's words and I realize that I often put too much stock in certain things that aren't as important as I thought they were. Yes, there are things in life that we need to, like, give priority to, or else we, you know, things might fall through, but we get unbalanced, every person in this room, because we say, I surrender, I want to know you more, I want to know you more, and Jesus says, you don't know what you're talking about. You think you're so self-righteous. You come to church every week and check it off and get your gold star. But you are so lost. That's what he says to us. Let me point out some even more brilliance here. The first thing to say is that it shows that when he says everything important is meaningless, it makes you realize maybe I got my priorities wrong. Here's something a little bit more interesting, I think. It's the nuance of the word Hevel. The word Hevel does mean smoke, vapor, fog. It does mean these things. But in the Hebrew, there are certain words that have deeper meaning, that have more to them. And real smart, wise people, philosophers back in the day, they would do this in their poems to get across something deeper. And they would use the same word to mean two different things. And this word is not using a different word. It's the same word, Hevel, but it means something almost completely different than just smoke, vapor. He says it's vanity. He says it's a puff of smoke, but it's also Hevel. And the people that were there in that day were like, oh, I see what, you see what he did there? You know, rap music does that sometimes. They'll be like, I was stuck in the pen. I should have wrote it down in pen. Maybe I'll do it again. Hit me with a pen. Stab me with a pen. You know, all these words that same words, but different meanings, right? They had different spellings in English, but this was the same spelling, hevel. And they're like, oh, you also mean it's not just foggy, but it's also a paradox. It meant it's an enigma. It meant this is like absurd. This is nonsense. Life is absurd. I can't even get over it. I have grown up as a Hebrew kid, and I've learned everything, this. In fact, I memorized it all. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. That's what Solomon's saying. But still, it's hevel. It's a paradox. It's an enigma. It's literally absurd. I agree with him. When I see the righteous fail and I see the wicked succeed, and I have done all this stuff in my life, and I'm like, what up, God? What are you doing? This is absurd. Why do they get this? Anyone relate? Anyone relate with me? Or am I the only one that says it's not fair sometimes? You've like, why does some people get that? And I don't get it. How come they got their healing? How come they understand this worship song? How come they got the revelation from God on this? How come they have this gift? How come they do this? How come they're never sick? How come they're rich? How come, all these kind of things. And the teacher says to us, it's hevel. It's a paradox. I don't get it either. A perfect example of the way he says this, he uses this nuance of the word 38 times. 38 times in Ecclesiastes. Other guys in Job and Psalms and different places, they use the word hevel, but it was in the sense of just vapor or fog or smoke. But he uses it 38 times as a paradox. Put up Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. One of the best examples of it, of the nuance of the word hevel, is this. I have seen evil under the sun, and it weighs heavily on mankind. God gives some people wealth, possessions, honor. Yeah, he does. So that they lack nothing, their heart's desire. But God does not grant them the ability to enjoy them. You say, like, some people even have everything. And then they die before they even get a chance to enjoy it. And strangers enjoy what they earned. This, my friends, is hevel. It's absurd. It's meaningless. It's a grievous evil. I don't get it, God. He's not saying God's not good. He's not saying that. He's just saying, I don't get you, God. I don't get you all the time. And I think that's something that we need to have the permission to be able to say. You can say that to God. I don't get you all the time. We teach our kids in Sunday school, this is the way it happens and this is the way it is. And then sometimes it doesn't happen that way and they say, oh, you were lying. That's not the way it is because look what's happened in my life. And we need to probably teach them a little bit to say, sometimes I don't get you, God. You're way bigger. You're way bigger than me. Your ways are so much higher. I don't know why COVID happened. I don't know why my business failed. I don't know why my marriage didn't work. I don't know why I never got married. I don't know why I hate everywhere that I live. I don't know why I can't find satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. I don't know why, for some reason, nothing fulfills me. I don't know why I'm depressed. I don't know why I'm worried. I don't know why I'm fearful. All of these things are okay to think. And they seem very cynical and depressing. But it's okay to think these things because the teacher in Ecclesiastes, which is a Holy Spirit-inspired book, says it's absurd. Why do certain things happen? It's a shock to my system to see this. It's a shock to all of our systems. It's an alarm clock, I think, to religious people who think, oh, you do this, you get this. Yeah, but sometimes not exactly. Oh, it's a loud, blaring call to those who are self-righteous or complacent that, hey, you better get to work. You can't just live this way and think things are going to be okay. You need something more. The one who's got that, let me just straighten this up. The one who's got their priorities mixed up, it's a alarm clock to you to say, your priorities are mixed up. And you can't understand, you're confused. But I want you to understand that you don't have to always understand. Whoa, that's pretty deep. The 2022 American who thinks they have good reasons for their frowns and their gripes and their poor me stories, he says, it's all meaningless. And I'm making a point here. I'm belittling the point. I'm overstating the point. Because I want us to all be like, okay, move on. Move on. Everything you thought you had figured out could possibly still be a paradox. You think it's one way, but it's another way. And we will look at another week at how he elaborates about work, about your work, even your life, even your new things, your collectible possessions. They're all fleeting shadows. They're all fog. They're all smoke. They're all a puff, a breath, a wisp, and they're gone. Depressing and cynical, yes. But profound? Perhaps. Perhaps it is profound. It's not my words, it's the teacher's words. They call him the teacher, they call him the preacher. Could you come up, anybody that can come up from the worship team? Anyone in the whole room that wants to come up, just come on up. You think you're a good singer? I think it's profound. I say more profound than we understand. The teacher in Ecclesiastes is doing this. He's shouting across time, stop. Stop the vain madness. You don't need all of this. You don't even need this, really. You don't need any of it. I got you. You don't need a crutch. I'm with you. Stop pretending that more likes, that more wealth, that nicer houses, that fancier friends, that greater success, or you fill in the blank, whatever it is for you, that you think is going to help you to arrive at your next location. Hey, this is what I need to arrive at my next location. If I could only be the president of the United States, then I've arrived, or whatever it is for you. If I could only be the king of the company, if I could only have a better husband, if I could only have a wife of any kind, even if just someone that breathes, if I could only, and I would just ask the Holy Spirit, what is he speaking to you that you would fill in that blank? If I only had this. And Jesus would say, oh, you got to do a better job at trusting me. You got to do a better job at surrendering. I thought you were good at it. Well, I was good, but now I need this and I'm not trusting you. Yeah. If I only could escape, so I'm going to do this sin. I'm going to go back to this addiction. And Jesus says, I thought we got that taken care of. But I didn't trust you, God, so I was looking for joy and peace and fulfillment and contentment. And so I went back to it, and now it didn't bring it to me, and now I'm back to you. And I'm saying, help me. And you're like, I told you. Didn't you read that book? Got hidden between one book and another book. I don't even know where it's at. Didn't you read it? Stop imagining that any of the things in this life equal arriving. None of them will be your like plane ticket. Here you go. Here's your ticket. This is the way, this is all you need. No, none of it equals arriving. As soon as you achieve what you think you need to do, you sense there's a glitch. There must be a glitch in the solar system. Glitch in the fabric of time. Because why did this happen to me? Literally, if you look back to the Hebrew study a little bit more, you see that even that word means a glitch. Like we would translate it in English, a glitch. There's a glitch, God. Everything. There's a glitch because I read Proverbs and it says, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean on your understanding in all the ways, acknowledge me and I will make your path straight. But sometimes I feel like my path's not as straight as I. Is there a glitch? And you do not arrive at a destination you think you're going to arrive at. It was just temporary fulfillment. I want us just to not even, maybe even sing, maybe just listen. Could you guys just do the, just do like one time through. I'll probably interrupt you anyways, but I want you to make this your prayer to say, Holy Spirit, would you speak exactly really super clear to me in the areas I'm confused with you in? And would you just help me to either understand or be okay not understanding and say, I trust or I surrender? Because my only goal should be I want to know you. But right now I have other goals too. Could you fix them? Just listen. Let this be a prayer.
Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all, surrendering.
Help us to surrender.
And find me here, Lord, as you draw me. Before I surrender,
drench my soul,
entrench my soul as mercy and grace unfold, I hunger and thirst, I hunger and
that this is a kind of a stark contrast to our last series was called Camp Meetings, and we're talking about how God brings healing and God brings deliverance and the Holy Spirit brings power, and we can see miracles and we can see signs and wonders because the Holy Spirit is there. And yes, all of that is still true. The question you ask is, if Ecclesiastes is true, does that mean that I should give up, that I should not have dreams, that I should not want more from life? Jesus didn't come to give me life more abundantly. No, you shouldn't not have that. But keep in mind that that this is true, but it's just a book in the Bible, and there's other books too. There's the book of John that says, I have come that you might have life more abundantly. There's an author named Solomon that wrote Ecclesiastes, but there's another author. The Bible calls him the author and the finisher of our faith. Its name is Jesus. There's another scripture in the New Testament that says this: throw off all of the baggage, throw it all off. Throw off everything that easily entangles you. Get rid of it. You don't need it. And this is what I want you to do. Fix your eyes on Jesus. That's another book in the Bible. So what do we take the other one for? What do we take this for? You take them both. You say, yes, let me put into perspective my wants, my desires, my life. And then let me, with Ecclesiastes and kind of like set a match to it all in some ways, but then let me put into perspective that Jesus came on the scene to redeem all things, to make all things new. I think Ecclesiastes is kind of like the frontier lady. And he says to some of you, ma'am, excuse me, sir, excuse me. You can't take, you think you can take that with you. You can't. You can't. You can't take that with, you want to? You're going to rebel against me, the frontier? I'm saying this is the Ecclesiastes guy, right? Go ahead, but it'll cost you. Go ahead. Take it with you. It'll cost you. I want you to know. And you'll find that you wish you would have just emptied it before you got on, because your plane's never going to arrive. It's never going to land at what you think you're going to land at. Keep in mind that this is not only a book in the Bible, not the only book in the Bible. It's there to deconstruct your priorities and help you replan them. It's to help you take everything out of your bag and then help you repack it. Should I do a better job this time? I'm going to ask us all to either get in a posture of kneeling, or like in your heart, or get on your knees just for a minute. As we close this service today, we're going to say a prayer of surrender. In light of eternity, in light of eternity, show me, God, what's important, what's not. I thank you that you're the author, you're the finisher of my faith. I thank you that Ecclesiastes, the teacher, is not the only final word, that you are the final word. And you're going to take care of us. But let us not be guilty of what the American first world, or the Eastern world, the third world, whatever Christian it is, let us not be guilty of the one that thinks it's all about me, it's all about stuff, it's all about achieving, it's all about getting, because really it's all about giving up. If it was all about getting, achieving, then Jesus, you would have done a lot more achieving, but all you did is come here to die. Let us be more like you. You told us our life is about death, really. It's about dying every day, counting the cost every day, picking up our cross, putting down our bag, and say, I will follow you. And when we do that, sometimes life isn't so great, but often, even in those bad moments, we sense your presence with us. And I much rather have your presence in those bad moments than have those bad moments alone. And see blessing work out of the breaking, because you seem to work blessing out of those times. All right, this is my prayer. I wrote it down. Lord, we ask that you would give us clear perspective on the smoke, on the vapor, on the temporary. Let us have a healthy perspective on it and get a clear perspective of you. Clear the fog and help us. We say to you today, I surrender. And I say this, you help me reset my priorities and find true contentment. Ask this to the Lord today. You don't have to repeat it, but ask it. Help me get out of the rut of looking to the rat race for my fulfillment. Help me empty my bags of what will be just vapor. And I say this to you, I want to, this is a tough one to say, but if you're willing to say it, say this. I want to know you in the power of your suffering, so that I might find meaning in the grave, so that I might find meaning in the garden, so that I might even find meaning in the fog. Because you can find meaning in those places, even in the suffering. Then let me also know you. Because I know you in your suffering, let me know you in the power of your resurrection, so that I might find hope through it all, to resurrect my mortal body, to roll away the stones of glitches and nonsense and absurdity, and live for you and only you. Would you just say this out loud? I surrender everything to you. I want to know you and only you.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.